Welcome to F&I Today. I'm your host, Becky Chernig. Now today we sit down with Kevin Jacobs, National Training Manager for Safeguard. Kevin will be sharing insight on leasing trends for auto dealers, why some F&I managers see leasing as an advantage, and why others still are not embracing it. Welcome, Kevin Jacobs, to F&I Today Show. It's a pleasure to have you on the show with us and in studio. Yes. So if you would, please, for our viewers, go ahead and share your brief background with us to get us started.
Started in the car business in retail, late 80s. Worked in a number of positions at dealerships, Southern California. Went from there to owning a direct mail company, producing what we call tuxedo sales for dealers. In about 2000, I went to work for an aftermarket company supporting F&I operations and doing mostly in-store coaching and training of F&I managers, desk managers. Left them in 2011, started my own little training company for a few years. And then in 2000, and I guess it was 15, got an offer I couldn't refuse from a good friend of mine who is with Safeguard Products International, and that's who I am today. I'm one of the national training managers at Safeguard.
Well, wonderful. That's terrific. So I know today, especially these residuals, we're getting better residuals, mm-hmm. right? And more dealers are doing more with leasing, and more F&I people are embracing leasing. But I say this in a big but, there are many F&I people that certainly are not. What's up with that?
Well, I think the big challenge from a profitability standpoint with anyone in the business office, and oftentimes other positions in the dealership, is that one of the primary tools to generate revenue, and also it provides a great benefit to the consumer, is to sell a service contract. That's the core product.
Yeah.
And you're just not going to sell a 60-month or a 65-month service contract on a short-term lease. So I think the challenge is to develop different procedures, a different focus on how do I generate additional income in the business office, which is such an important part of profitability
Absolutely.
In the dealership, if I can't present a service contract. And it's just a different focus on the other products that you have to offer, really, in my opinion.
Okay, so what if any type of mistakes are made when you're actually presenting leases to consumers? What are those mistakes?
I think in my experience with the dealerships that I've worked with, I think the primary challenge they have is when they decide to present the lease to the consumer, because oftentimes you have a scenario where they have a process where when they present numbers, they're all retail numbers. And the fact of the matter, on a new car and used cars, prices are getting higher and higher. And when the consumer looks at their monthly payment, they're oftentimes going for the lowest payment they can get, because that's easier for them to afford. The alternative is a really, really long-term finance contract, which in many cases they still can't get to the payment the consumer needs.
Right.
And then at the last minute before the consumer leaves, they say, well, the dealership will say, well, how about a lease? Would you consider a lease? Well, at that point, it usually takes a long time to get to that point, and the consumer at that point is a little uneasy and maybe not as receptive as they would have been if the initial lease payment was just part of their presentation of the numbers up front. So when you're presenting the numbers up front, we should consider presenting a lease at that point, make it part of the interaction with the consumer early on. So it's not something, it's not an afterthought that's thrown in the end.
Right, so it's something that starts at the very beginning.
Right.
It's a part of the culture.
Exactly.
I'm with you on that. Okay, so let me ask you this. You do a lot of training. You're all over the country, I imagine, and either doing leasing, finance training, that sort of thing. And then afterwards, I assume you get some sort of survey to a participant.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of your popular responses that you get?
Well, the most common response, because one of the questions I typically ask in all my surveys is what was the most beneficial in the training event? And with almost, if I had to quantify it, I'd say somewhere between 85-95% of the attendees typically say the most beneficial component was when we do a lease calculation without the assistance of any calculators or any computers. And I think that's driven by the fact that you and I have known each other a long time.
Yeah, that's
okay?
right.
And when we were still in retail, we didn't have all these computer-driven programs to calculate a lease payment. So when we calculated a lease, we did it by hand. We had a 10-key calculator, we had the lease residual guide, and we figured out the lease.
That's right.
So when a consumer asks us a question, well, how do you get to the payment? Because they don't understand leasing.
Right.
Because we did it by hand, it was easy for us to explain. Today, a scenario happens where a customer says, well, it looks good, but explain the leasing to me. How did you get to the payment? a lot of the people that are on the desk now and F&I now, well, I put the numbers in the computer, I hit enter, and it came out, the payment came out. So
right.
That's not good enough for the typical consumer.
Right, right.
So when we calculate it by hand, it gives them the opportunity to actually step by step see how we get to the payment. And it gives them a tool whereby they can talk more competently with the consumer about the structure of leasing.
Well, I think it's really important. I think in some cases we're getting away, or some have, training companies have gotten away from F&I fundamentals. The
yes.
fundamentals are so important. And it's so good to hear that we're getting back into some of this fundamental training, which dealers need and their managers need. Especially with leasing, that's not going away anytime soon,
it's
I can
not.
Imagine.
In fact, it's not only is it not going away, with millennials it's becoming more and more popular because millennials tend to want the newest technology, the newest thing. Leasing is a way to get that where without the burden of a long-term payment. And one of the things we teach in our leasing class is that the primary reasons that you would consider a lease is to better manage two components, your cash flow and the risk. The risk of what's my car going to be worth in 3 years when I want another one.
Right.
Well, if you lease for 3 years, you don't have to worry about it because you have those options. If the value is not there, you turn it back in and you go into your next car.
You make a valid point with that millennial, that's for darn sure.
Yeah.
So, okay, cool. So here's the thing, let me ask you this. We've got used car leasing coming back.
Mm-hmm.
I know I did that years ago. I don't want to date myself, however. What's up with that? How do we get that going back in the dealership and make it a faster and better process?
I'm hearing more and more that pre-owned leasing is slowly making a resurgence. My opinion on that is if you're dealing with luxury brands, high-end vehicles, Because of the high cost of those vehicles, I think that's probably a realistic option sometimes. But if you're talking about non-luxury, just typical communication transportation vehicles,
yeah.
vehicles like a Toyota Camry, a Honda Accord, that's how consumers travel from point A to point B. I don't think it makes a lot of sense because after 2 years of ownership from point A to point B, the education curve starts to level out. And when it levels out, it's one of the things that drives the leasing is that dramatic depreciation in the first couple of years allows us to provide a lower payment in those first 2 years. Once that depreciation curve starts to level out, you don't see the dramatic difference in payment from a lease to a retail unless you have that really high dollar non-luxury exotic vehicle. So I'm hearing it, but most of the time that I hear it's coming back, it's with a luxury vehicle. It's not with a consumer, just the basic consumer transportation vehicle.
Kevin, I'm going to throw something at you.
Okay.
Years ago, we did more leasing with customers who might have had some slow pay history.
Yes.
Do you see that happening again?
No.
Okay, not.
I don't think so. If I had to guess, I'd say no. I think that was one of the challenges that drove us away from leasing. Because when you have to subvene the money factors, and
yeah.
you have to incentivize the payments.
Right.
Part of that is driven by the condition of the vehicle when it's turned in. Unfortunately, we have a scenario where a lot of people that have some credit challenges sometimes don't have the means to maintain the vehicles the way they should. So now they come back and the lessor has a vehicle that's nowhere near the value. It creates more losses on the back end, and it pushes them away. I mean, I think today, you're going to have pretty strong credit nowadays to do a lease.
Okay, I've got another question for you.
Okay.
The industry where it's being scrutinized more and more.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, how are we treating leasing now?
Interesting thing. We see much more scrutiny from organizations like the CFPB and other regulatory bodies on retail sales. The fact of the matter is, in many cases, I've read articles where the regulators have said, well, we're not really focused on leasing because we're not sure how leasing works. And it's not a scenario where I think that, you know, I never advocate trying to take advantage of a customer. That's not what I'm talking about. It's a scenario where you don't really have to worry about the regulation. It's a scenario where the primary purpose for doing a lease is that it's easy. It's a convenience factor. And from a cost standpoint, again, you manage your risk and you manage your cash flow. So most people going into a lease want it to be simple and easy, and the payment's
right.
The payment. I write my check every month. So I think we're going to continue to have less focus from a regulatory standpoint on leasing than we have on retail sales.
So it's a better customer experience altogether?
It typically is a better customer experience for a lot of different reasons. Most standard leases are enforced for 24 months to 48 months, which with most brands, that's the period of the full factory warranty. So the consumer, if there's an issue with the vehicle, doesn't have to worry about taking money out of their pocket to take care of it. The more transparent the process, the better for the consumer. The easier it is at the end of the lease to just transition into that next vehicle, the better for the consumer. And I think that's going to continue also. It's consumers at least tend to want an easy process. I'm a lease customer myself. What I want is to know I make that payment every month, and then at the end of the lease, I drop that car off and I get the next one. It's just easy.
It certainly can be a win-win for the dealership as well as the customer.
Right.
That's for darn sure. Well, you know what, Kevin? Thank you so much for coming on the show and having you in studio finally, and I hope to get you back real soon.
Just let me know when.
You betcha. Thank you again. So as Kevin points out, leasing can be a huge advantage to dealers, but training is an essential component to ensure confidence in presenting these options to customers 100% of the time. It takes commitment from the sales and finance department to build this culture. The fundamentals of leasing are the building blocks to a successful career in F&I. Extending terms to 84 months just may not be the way to go, and dealers should always look for ways to be more customer-centric, offering competitive terms, and focus on retaining business. Well, thank you for joining me on F&I today. Be sure to come back next week right here on CBT Automotive Network for our next edition of F&I Today. I'm Becky Chernick, and I'll see you next week.
F&I Today. Brought to you by eLend Solutions.